From now until November, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama will be emphasizing their differences. We're going to spend some time in the next few weeks looking at their similarities. The men's lives coincide in a striking number of ways. Both attended Harvard. They've both been heavily influenced by their respective churches, each even descended from polygamists. Today we're starting a series called Parallel Lives, and we begin with the fact that each man lost his first political campaign. Tonight on All Things Considered, we'll hear about Barack Obama's losing race. First, this morning, here's NPR's Ari Shapiro with Mitt Romney's story.
In retrospect, Mitt Romney's first campaign sounds like political suicide. A Republican in deep blue Massachusetts challenging liberal lion Ted Kennedy for his Senate seat. Mike Murphy has been a longtime friend of Romney's and advised him in later campaigns.
Normally, they didn't have anybody who would run against Kennedy, and I give Mitt a lot of credit for stepping up on what was a very lonely fight.
In 1994, Kennedy appeared to be a lion in winter, says political scientist Paul Watanabe of the University of Massachusetts, Boston.
He was down and out. He was a person who had just experienced really the low point of his career.
And Mitt Romney was a fresh face, an up-and-comer who had seen huge success in the business world. Scott Fersen was Kennedy's press secretary during the Romney fight.
I think in 94, he felt that Senator Kennedy's time had ended and it was his time.
Romney was a new face in the Republican Party, too. He changed his affiliation from independent in 1993, so he didn't have the party infrastructure to build a political machine comparable to Kennedy's. Still, he put a couple $1 million of his own money in the campaign fund, and by September, some polls showed the men tied. Then came an epic October debate that would define this election and reverberate through many subsequent ones.
I've been watching elections for several decades of Massachusetts politics. That's probably one of the most memorable nights I've had.
Professor Watanabe remembers a moment before the cameras and audience were in place. The candidates were doing microphone checks.
And Ted Kennedy showed up and, you know, his shirt tail was out. He looked, frankly, to me, horrible. He looked like he wasn't ready for this.
Good evening and welcome.
When the debate began, something changed. The clean-cut Romney came across as a novice, recalls Republican strategist Murphy.
As a new candidate, he got up there with Ted Kennedy, who was the old pro, and really got roughed up in the debate.
On that stage in Boston's historic Faneuil Hall, the lion seemed to reemerge. Kennedy hammered Romney on health care finances and on abortion.
I have supported the Roe v. Wade. I am pro-choice. My opponent is multiple choice.
Romney replied with an answer that has dogged him ever since.
My mother and my family have been committed to the belief that we can believe as we want, but we will not force our beliefs on others on that matter.
Thank you.
And you will not see me wavering on that or be a multiple choice. Thank you very much.
Later as governor, Romney changed his position. He now calls himself pro-life. Romney got creamed in that debate, and when Murphy joined the gubernatorial campaign in 2002, Romney was still absorbing those lessons.
So a focus of our campaign for governor was to spend the time to prep and get comfortable with that format. And by most observers, he won the debates decisively in the gubernatorial campaign. That's one of the reasons he won.
The Senate race against Kennedy was not a clash of ideologies. In a state where only 13% of voters called themselves Republicans, Romney worked hard to portray himself as a moderate.
Look, I was an independent during the time of Reagan Bush. I'm not trying to return to Reagan Bush.
Instead of policy differences, Romney focused on personality differences. The Kennedy camp was far more aggressive. Attack ads from that time foreshadow a vulnerability that Romney's opponents use to this day. Kennedy painted Romney as a cold-blooded capitalist willing to ruin people's lives for money.
He's cut our wages to put money in back into his pocket.
You're not creating jobs, you're taking them away from us.
Striking factory workers from Indiana added to that portrayal. The workers came to Massachusetts and protested in front of Romney's company, Bain Capital, which owned the factory that laid off workers. Romney was on leave from Bain and had nothing to do with the decision, but the attacks worked. He dropped in the polls. Still, Romney held fire, says former Kennedy aide Fersen.
You know, he ran a very clean campaign. You know, he didn't go out of his way to talk about Senator Kennedy's personal issues.
Fersen believes Romney's loss left him believing that nice guys finish last.
I think he's clearly gotten over this notion that I run the risk that people won't like me. You know, in a lot of respects, I think he sometimes goes out of his way to carpet bomb an opponent.
Romney put that lesson a different way in an interview years later.
If fired upon, you return fire.
And here's the other lesson that he says he learned from that race.
And that is, if you don't define yourself, your opponent will do that for you.
In the end, the contest wasn't even close. Romney took 41% of the vote to Kennedy's 58%. Romney returned to Bain and then went on to run the Utah Winter Olympics. Today on The Stump, he says he has spent very little of his life in politics. And that's true, but it wasn't for lack of trying. Ari Shapiro, NPR News.